As far as some stuff just from last week, Paul, your sister-in-law, she doing all right? Or this month, anyway. Okay. All right. How's she doing with the stroke? Okay. All right. Let's see here. I just got this. Heath Pickard. If anybody know Heath Pickard, he's a teacher at Good Pasture, and he's a preacher at Jackson Park. Fell out of a tree stand this past week, broke his vertebrae, tore his ACL. He's got some other knee issues. He's going to be wheelchair bound for a little bit, so we want to keep him in our prayers. And remember to strap yourself in when you're in a tree stand. And try not to go to sleep. That's true. I do try to strap myself in, but when I was younger, I didn't, because nothing happens to you when you're younger. Accidents don't happen. That's why they're called accidents. Yeah, I was in a tree one time, and that's what taught me, is I was way up in a tree. You know, I thought, I'll just get up as high as I can, because, you know, I'm 25 years old. Nothing's going to happen to me. If I fell out, I would just bounce back up. Well, it was a little windy that day in the tree. You know, the tree, if it was moving probably this much, but it felt like it was moving this much. I was like, okay, I'm getting down as quick as I can. So, yeah, definitely strap yourself in when you get up in a tree. Anybody else have anything? Yes, sir. Oh, wow. Jim is his name? Jen. All right, let me. And what's the last name? COPP. Okay. I just thought it was interesting. You said you had a friend. Yeah, really. Really. I think everybody knows to do that. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Well, there you go. All right. Well, good. Well, good. No better time than the present. There's three cards. There's three cards. Thanks, Mary. There's three cards. Okay. Okay. All right. For those of y'all that didn't know, Jimmy Blackwell's mother passed away Friday. Is that right, Friday or Saturday? Friday. And then the Betty Jenkins. Okay. Okay. All right, definitely keep them in your prayers. And yes, ma'am. He's been declared seizure-free. We're great. All right. Excellent. Birthdays. Anybody else have anything before I get started? Birthdays. We've got Bill Hunter, Chris Neighbors. Little Birdie told me that was number 50. Special. It's special. Means you're at the top of the hill right there. Everything else is downhill. And then Stephen Watson, We got it, it's not we're not talking 50 here, are we?
We're not.
Okay. I could go either way. Bill, 40?
Almost.
Okay. All right. We've got some anniversaries. We're going to run through here real quick. Stephen and Stacy Watson. Wow, you're doing a good job this week. Brandon and Vicki Adams. All right, so Stephen, when's y'all's, what number is that? Ooh, wow, that's a big one. Brandon and Vicki, 26. Jimmy and Sandy are not in here. Six. And that's it. Okay. Happy birthday, real quick. We're going to go Bill, Chris, Stephen, alphabetical. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Bill, Chris, Stephen. Happy birthday to you. All right. It gets worse every week. I appreciate that. Brandon is going to lead us in a prayer, and then I don't have anything here. And when I ask Chris Neighbors, who is teaching today, Heather, the two of them, both at the exact same time said, you are. Didn't have anything. You know, I knew it wasn't something they could actually do, and so I freaked out. But by looking around and seeing the room and reading the room, I'm figuring Jonathan is teaching today. So, okay, good. No. That's quite all right. I'm not prepared and never will be. All right, Brandon, if you would, I appreciate it.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to praise and glorify your holy name. We thank you so much for all the things that you have done for us, that you are doing for us, and that you will do for us, that we will see and maybe we won't see. We pray that you will be a guide for us throughout the rest of this week. We pray for those who were mentioned earlier who are sick and who are struggling, and we pray for those who were not mentioned who are also struggling and are sick. We pray that you will be with Jonathan and help. We know he will bring us a great lesson today. Let your words speak through him. Please bless us all as we go throughout our week. And thank you so much for your son who died on the cross for our sins. In his name we pray. Amen.
I think I'm good. What's that? He can have it. No, you're good. It's okay. There we go. I'm not the regular teacher in this series, so if you are visiting this class, please come back next week when Lynn is back. And he's doing a great job with a very difficult study, something that we don't know a lot about. And probably in our history haven't spent a lot of time studying, and that's the Holy Spirit. So our lesson today, our time together, and in full Con Hamlet fashion, I will have you out by 11 o'clock, okay? Just a series of questions kind of stemming from Lynn's discussion and his PowerPoints. And some of these things we may have addressed before, but it's good to come back and think about. And if you want to have your Bible out, I would encourage you to do that as we do refer to some specific scriptures throughout our time. So in Acts 2, a very critical moment in our story, really, as Christians in our faith, is that the counselor comes. The Holy Spirit is received. And so my initial question as we get started today is, how does this moment create a difference in the lives of those receiving the Spirit? Appropriate wait time by the team evaluation model for those of you who are teachers.
They become emboldened.
Okay. Emboldened.
They started speaking in tongues in some tongue as well. I mean, they started talking and attracting this little segment over here to them because these people can understand them. So they had some languages that they could speak suddenly.
Right. And so would that have been possibly the first time that people had been introduced to the story because of the language? Very important. Thank you. Anybody else? Enabled, emboldened, taking it to people that the ability to take it to folks that may not have heard the message before. Maybe from that point, confidence. I think I would be. Yes, amazed. How many of you are familiar with the song Rattled right now, or Rattling? It's on K-Love, and it's a really cool song. But in there, one of the lines is that along the lines of, we have the resurrection power in our veins too. It made me think about Acts 2. We are gifted the Holy Spirit. In our interactions with people, be it at work, be it at church, be it in our homes, be it wherever, do we feel emboldened? Do we feel the confidence to encourage others? You know, the eldership has laid out a plan this year to increase not just membership by 20%, that's important, but baptisms by 50%. Christ gives us a portion of himself when we receive his Spirit. Would you guys not agree with that? We have the confidence. You know, Anna Rose said the other day, we have the Spirit that we need. And sometimes that's scary. I think that's one of the reasons why the study of the Holy Spirit and Lynn's ability to take that on is a difficult one. Because, number one, does Satan want us to realize our full potential? That's a pretty easy answer, right? That's a softball question. No offense to softball or baseball, you know. But it is. It's the truth. He doesn't want you and I to realize our potential, the power that resides in us, not because of us, but because of Christ, and the immeasurably more that we can do with that to reach people, to bring people to know him. So Satan's going to throw barriers there. For those of you that don't know me, I'm an educator. We have a lot of educators in the room today. There is a significant war on our children. I look around. We are all in different phases of life. Some have young children at home. Some have older grown children. Some have grandchildren. We are all somehow still responsible for the life of a child. The war on our children, the war on the next generation starts in the womb. And as they grow, Satan uses every possible medium to distract them from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Our children are the most vulnerable population in the world. And we have a duty and a responsibility to them. It's critical. It's important. I've said before here, you know, I have two little girls. They probably distract a lot of people during worship service. I can't, Anna Rose and I can't get them to a relationship with Jesus Christ or to heaven by ourselves. It's one of the reasons we're at Madison. It's one of the reasons that we care and have concern about the future of Madison, as I'm sure that you guys do. Many of you in this room chose to be here because of what it could provide for your children in a Spirit-filled environment. So kind of tying this to where we are today, we've mentioned the persecution on our kids. Think about the early church and how it spread. The obstacles that those early Christians faced. So what obstacles do we have today? What stands in our way?
I think our own sin.
Okay, our own sin. Desire to be comfortable. Yeah. Makes me think of another song that's on the radio right now, Let Me Tell You About My Jesus. If any of you haven't heard that song, that's your homework today. Be blessed by that. It's a really good song. Anybody else? What stands in our way? Don't want to offend or, yeah. I think the cultural aspect stands in the way a lot, for sure. You're over that? I mean, you can write a model for people and then, you know, we can. News? And I think that ties into our culture, because now social media has become the place for news or the highlight of life, and a lot of misconceptions there. I think those two points are huge, especially working with children. I have a teacher at our school who is very involved with our FCA program, and she has two children. And they were doing a project through school. I don't know the ins and outs of it, but somehow she and her daughters got to the topic of abortion. And they asked her how she felt about it. She gave her 2 cents, and then both girls very quickly responded, well, you're just so closed-minded. You don't understand. And so she had to step back and recognize, okay, where are they being influenced in this? Where you know, that opens up another topic, and I'm not trying to get political with that, but made me step back as a father to recognize that at some point I'm going to have that discussion with my girls, and to be equipped, as Sean said, with biblical knowledge and truth there, a place to point them to. I know that that's coming, and I need to buckle up and get ready. Gotcha. I think an interesting study would be going through the New Testament and Christ's interaction with different people. You know, whether it be the disciples, whether it be children, just go through that and see how he responded to people and the right. Yes, I mean, then that's a. Leprosy? A little bit. Not just a little bit, real big. What would your prayer life and actions, how would that give evidence of your belief in God? You don't have to necessarily answer that. I know that that's kind of a loaded question. That may be a personal one. Yesterday we had a meeting here at church, and Russ said something that really resonated, and he talked about expanding your prayer life. Now, it's easy for me to pray about my immediate family or my job or the kids at Hawkins Middle School, because sometimes I feel like I have to get that done. Sometimes it's harder to expand to pray for people that you are different from or see things differently. But that was an encouragement yesterday from Russ to expand our prayer life, to pray for our church leadership, to pray for the vision of this church, to pray for the future of this church, to pray for our country, to pray for those specific things that influence our day and how we can better handle them to influence others. So I need to tell Russ how much I appreciate it.
Pray for our educators who help mold our children.
We appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
We need it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
No, and I appreciate that, because prayer is a gift, and it's encouraging when not only you know somebody's praying for you, but when you see them actually do that, and you're there and you experience that, it's powerful. The Spirit has been given to us to guide us, right? To convict us. I mean, that's another thing that Russ said yesterday. Your prayer life expands. God will use it to convict you. To convict you of changes, to convict you of a direction to take. So, does it scare us a little bit?
Yes. Just like the rich young ruler, I mean, I'm a little scared by that. Because we, about what I do and what I've done, how can I gain eternal life? We're going to put him in a mirror.
Which that leads to an interesting point. And I appreciate you bringing that up. It's actually on my bullet points here. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think as a child, and maybe this is true for some adults, but that we look at our relationship with God or with Jesus as simply a means to get a ticket out of hell, and it's a lot more than that. Any thoughts on that?
I think that's what we've been taught, what we brought out of our teaching. Not necessarily what we've been taught, but what we gained from younger. I think that's a big motivation. Christians, I think that grows there. I think it's a natural expression. It's stupid. When I was young, I thought I had it all figured out. Church, what I'm supposed to do, and all the rules that I'm supposed to follow. And now, I hope that it figured out a little bit better, but I don't think it's quite there all the way. It scares me when everybody thinks it's there all the way.
Right. I used to work with somebody who said, once you think you have all the answers, you need to change professions, because you don't have all the answers, right? And there is something important about having a healthy fear of hell. That's not a bad thing. I think society wants us to believe that it's not real, and will teach to the contrary, teach us that it's not real, but we know different. If someone along those lines would turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. And would anybody be willing to read Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7? Thank you. I forgot to include 8, so I appreciate that. I'm going to read those words again. Thanks to Sean for doing so. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're away on a journey, when you're lying down, when you get up again. Tie them to your hands as a reminder. Wear them on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your home and on your gates. What does that say to you? What do those verses say to you?
Keep reminders. Keep looking. Keep thinking about all of that. Make it a part of who you are, and keep it ever present wherever you go.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else? Both great points. Even earlier in chapter 6, it says that. Teach your children and your grandchildren. So it goes back to that next generation. We've all touched on it. The feeling that I get from that, if that's a great word, but the way that it speaks here, I truly feel, is that it's all-encompassing. You don't take a minute off from it. And it's not about people seeing you being different. It's about people seeing Christ in you. And you know, I've wondered that with Anna Rose before. Do people at work see that all the time? When I'm frustrated with a kid because, they won't listen, or a parent is yelling, screaming, and using words that we don't normally use, do they see that in that moment? It's very difficult. I think we all have those moments. It's not about me sharing my personal story. But those verses there really stick. That everything about what we do is about Christ. Everything about what we do is about God, our relationship with Him. Everything that we do is about setting the standard and the tone for the next generation to understand who God is, what He did for you. This whole book is about what He did for us. This whole book is filled with things that He didn't have to do for us. It all points to Jesus. But it's a story of what God gave us, and He didn't have to do any of it. And He's going to do it again tomorrow morning, and He's going to do it the next day until He comes back, and that's what we're waiting for, right? That's what we're hoping for. And again, that ties back into the Spirit, why the Spirit is important with what we share with other folks. I mean, when you read this and you think about all of the things that God has done for us, why wouldn't you want to share that with people? And not just people of different faiths. There are people in our own families who don't have a relationship or struggle with a relationship. And that's hard. And sometimes that's the hardest conversation to have because those are the people you love the most. And so we go back to the cultural influence. We don't want to offend them. What if I push them away and they don't answer the text message or the phone call the next time because I've offended them? But it's going to be more offensive on the day of judgment when we haven't shared that story.
People are also the people that know you're the best, and we're not always the best.
Right.
And so freedom is, we're one generation away from losing our freedom. Same with the church. We're one generation from losing the church. It is important that we pass it along to the generation.
And I would not to get political, because that's not my point or my job, but sometimes we tie things into or use religion to back our own feelings or our own sense of things, and can at times misuse what is said here, And I think that's a great point you make, and I appreciate that. Anybody else before we make a couple more thoughts, and then we will wrap up early? Hey. He wants us to pursue Him because He pursues us. Thank you for sharing. I'll treat you to lunch today, and I'll make sure you get home safely. Is the point to completely understand God or to worship Him? Right. Kind of another easy question to get the ball rolling in. But yes. I think the goal there is to worship Him. What we're doing here is extremely important. The Spirit is relational. And there are relationships in this room. There are people that will socialize outside of this room. There are people that will check up on each other via social media or text messaging throughout the week. But the Spirit is relational. There's evidence of this, of the Spirit working with the Father and the Son, changing people in the New Testament, changing their lives, changing our lives. But again, what we do here from a relational standpoint is also very important. One of the last questions that I want to ask and then kind of leave with a charge is, what's the first thing that you describe when you leave church? Do you have a conversation on the way home about how great the singing was and how inspirational and uplifting that was? Do you have a point from Russ's lesson or today Greg's lesson about how it's impacted you and something that you want to think about throughout the week? Or is the first thing that we talk about where we're going to lunch and all the things that we have to do on Sunday to prepare for Monday, and then we're going to check back in on Sunday morning next week? I'm very, very guilty of the second half of that. We already discussed where we're eating lunch. That's off the plate. We took care of that before we came in this morning. But the minute that we leave here, the mind goes to that place, right? That's the human side of things. It's kind of normal, I would guess, because we are distracted by the cultural things, the expectations on us, right, that have been mentioned a couple times. So the charge that I would make this week is to reiterate Russ's statement yesterday of expanding this week our prayer life. We have a lot of people here in our class who have lost loved ones. We know people that are struggling with various things. It's, you know, flu season is coming, and it's going to add a different element to people's nerves and tensions that already exist. So this week, let's expand our prayer life. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray for this class. Let's pray for this church. And let's not be afraid to share our prayer requests with other people. This may be not related, but I remember as a child growing up, I felt like there were a lot of people, and I've said this before teaching, that went forward to ask for prayers. Very important part of what God has given us, and we don't see that a lot today. It's not a judgment call, but I think sometimes people, you know, we don't want to air our needs, but that's a special thing to know that Christians are praying for you. So within this class, within the relationships that we have here, let's start small. When you have a prayer request, take it to the class. Take it to people here who you know will pray for you and help lift you up throughout the week, because life is hard. So let's lighten the load for each other this week. Thank you. Please come back next week for someone who is more prepared and more equipped to talk about the Holy Spirit. Lynn's done a great job. And have a good week.
You might enjoy your lunch.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.